kingdom worker. You're not going to be a good laborer if you're not sure. You know, and again, we've often said it when Peter talks about being sure. Paul tells the church at Ephesus that God has given you something. And it is a unique gift. It's a calling. And it's unique for you because God wants to use you. And that's why we don't have to be envious or jealous of people, because all of us get something. But what are you going to do with it? And if you don't sharpen your skills, you know your skills will diminish. It's no more than what we've learned from being in high school or going to college or working on a job after a period of time. If we don't keep refreshing ourselves, our competency levels will diminish. Our ability to be competitive will diminish. And so you and I have to constantly take ourselves into a place and say, listen, okay, I'm there, but not there. I'm okay, but I could be better. And so we have to work on that. And then again, the enthusiastic part is what we really need. If you're in a group of people and everybody's just ho-hum, I mean, it takes something out of you, doesn't it? You know, you come into, how many of you have gone to work, got up, you know, your morning's going real good, your coffee just right, your eggs are over easy, your toast done, and then, you know, you get into the job, and then you walk in and they just take it out of you. You know, they're 10 minutes and because everybody else got a bad attitude and you know, you coming in saying, good morning. Don't nobody say nothing. Well, you don't know how I feel when I come out here and say, good morning, don't nobody say nothing. You know, you're ready to go. You as we say, chomping at the bit. And you go to workstation number one and say, well, how you doing this morning? Don't say nothing. Go over to workstation number two and go, well, how are you doing? I think, you know what? I'm so sick of these people. And before you know it, you go sit in your little cubicle and go, you know what? Man, what's wrong with me? I must be crazy. And you start having this sentiment, am I the only one? So, again, in the body of Christ, that's why we greet each other with a holy kiss. And that's why we have, okay, y'all ain't buying yet. You got to be enthusiastic. You, listen, we're gonna look down the road and try to figure out a way to reshape our ministries and do. But if you're not happy, if you're inviting people and say, well, why don't you come go to church with me sometime? And they say, what? Yeah, you know, we have a good time around there. And, you know, they looking at you going, you don't sound like it. To know who we're working for, and to build our levels of courage and competence, and then again. To know that we are confident of the work, that he who begun this work, I know that God started something with me. And so we want to be able to do that. Then to look at it and understand that the commitment that we have for Christ is unlike any other commitment we have. Some people have worked a job for 30 and 40 years and missed only a few days. And those same people cannot say they went to church for a full year and didn't miss a Sunday. I can't say they've gone to church and didn't miss a Bible study. They worked on a job for 35, 40 years, get their little pen or get their little watch, but they cannot say they committed to God the same way. Some people how many of you worked on jobs where people retire and every now and then they come back? They can't help it. They still feel connected because that meant so much to them. And the same cannot be said for people who are in the body of Christ. People leave God's church on whimsical stuff. All it takes is something silly. But they're still in their job because there's something in the payoff. Okay, you missed it. Don't ever get so in love with God that all you see is what you can see. Because there's more. There's a whole lot more. And the connection that we make is because we made the commitment to God. We didn't make the commitment to Greater Brookville. We made our first commitment to God. Brookville is our substation. But our headquarters is where we made our commitment. Okay, y'all don't see me yet. You have to hold to God's unchanging hand. Jesus said it this way, apart from me, you got nothing. So stick with him. And anything that comes along after that, it's because I stay focused that I don't get frustrated. How many of you ever had to tell somebody, I don't work here for you? Most of us who work our jobs have other motivating factors to keep our job. For some of us, when our children were small, we wanted to feed our family. We want to pay our bills. We want to get a nice car, get a nice house. And we stay motivated. And that's why every 3 or 4 years, we bought another car. And every so often, we do something for the house. And every so often, because we've got things we're working toward. And you ought to be that way in the body of Christ. I got a point I'm going to mention here in a moment, but let me give you a trailer. Let me let you peep into it. We ought to never be satisfied until we got every pew full. In the first 6 months, we ought to say, we're going to get 20. We get that 20, we say, oh, no, we got to get 40. And then, you know, we got to keep something in front of us. One of the reasons our church has fallen into this state that it's in is because we lost our enthusiasm. We didn't press the agenda. And we did not find a purpose in our purpose. We got become somewhat selfish to a degree. And God is calling us to say, listen, you're committed to me. You're connected. Look, apart from me, why break ranks with God? Of all the things I would leave, I wouldn't leave God first. If I can't get to where I can serve him enthusiastically and with the energy and engagement that's necessary, maybe I need to change the job I work so I can spend more time with God. Maybe I need to change the crowd I'm with. So I, you know, you see what I'm saying? I'm committed to him because I'm connected to him. And he tells me that because of him, I can do everything. So what he's also telling me is, when you're not with me, you ain't going to do much. Can I get you to come to a place of realization for a moment? Think of how much your life would change if you were connected and committed to your job, the place you work. Could you eat the same? Could you sleep the same? Could you drive the same? If you lost your health benefits, would your life be the same? No. If you lose that, your life, most people who retire have to change their life. They lost their group insurance rate, so now they got to be careful how many times they just go to the doctor. Copay or no copay, when the bill comes and you got to pay more of it, you figure out a way to be less bill generating. You know, stuff you used to go in there for, just walk in, so they'll pay for it. Now you say, oh, I'm all right. They say, you sure? Oh, yeah, I'm this all right. This ain't so bad. Because we understand God in a different way, and we trust him. Remember, this is all about faith. And so when I realize now what his investment in me is, my return investment to him is priceless. What's too much for God? Nothing. Because he didn't sacrifice anything. He said, whatever they need. Notice, I came that they would have life, but more abundantly. David said, my cup is running over because my connection with God. Without God, my cup don't run over. I ain't got no cup. Jesus says, I have come to save you. Salvation ought to mean something. It ought to mean everything. If it's going to mean anything, it's got to mean everything. And so he said, let's remember we're committed to God and our connection to God. And then he says again, let's roll back. Look at our confidence in him. Look at our confidence because of what we know about him. And look at the courage he gives us. That was from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That was our follow-up. Now we go into Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. Please understand this. The character of the Christian church, and don't miss this, is a result of all things promised coming together or being fulfilled, if you will. We are who we are because he said that's what we'd be. Oh, come on. It's the coming together. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say I am? It was the altogether coming together of every prophetic thing they knew from the old book. They knew what the Messiah was supposed to look like. They knew what the Messiah, not so much physically, but they knew what his record would be. They knew what his works would look like. They knew that when Shiloh came, everything was going to change. They knew that an emancipator was coming. They were told that he's going to be greater than Moses. They knew Moses. They were told he'd be greater than Abraham. They knew Abraham. And so in our lives, our character is the fulfillment of every prophecy, every promise, every purposeful thing in Christ, because God has never lied. God's not going to get to 1916 and lose his reputation, because he cannot lie. And you are no lesser person. We are no lesser church. We are no lesser deacons and ministers than any other called church or ministry or deacon or minister, because God is the God of all things. No respect of person, and all things in God are all things in God. What defines or differentiates us is those who hold to the promise and those who let go of the promise. He said, if you stay with me, I got you. I'll show you things. I'll let you do things. And so what we're looking at is, how do we develop the character of the church? Because the church is so filled with character. It's the result of having courageous people, having competent people. How many of you have ever gone to a place and because the service was not done well, or the ambiance was not well, or whatever, you say, I ain't never going back in there again? How many of you have had somebody recommend a place to you, and you go and you say, I don't see what they see in this? You ever gone in a place? I mean, how many of you ever gone in a place where maybe some things were okay, but some other things were just a bit too much? The food is good, but the kitchen dirty. The workers' fingernails ain't clean. See, I look at stuff like that. I don't know about y'all, but when I go to eat, I look at fingernails, hair, skin, shoes. I mean, if you're working in a restaurant, your shoes dirty, that's a distraction to me. Or you got dirt all over your britches. A lot of restaurants, they wear white top, black pants. But if you keep wiping your hands and your pants, after a while, they start looking a little grubby. I don't want you waiting on me. Or you come out of your apron, got stains all over it. Can you get me somebody else? Your hair knit, or your hair ain't combed back properly, or you gotta have some clean fingernails when you come and put food on my table. And you can't have BO when you reach over me. They make too much cheap cologne and perfume for you to work in a place. I don't care how hard you've been working, a good bar of soap can help. You ain't gonna serve me and I'm looking for the aroma of my giblets and gravy, and all I smell is old demusk. I don't care how good y'all food is. Oh, stop right there. And so it is with the character of the church. Yeah, we got a nice building. We got nice pews and all that. But if the people got problems, if there's issues with how we look and how we sound, it don't matter how big a church we build. It don't matter what community we put it in. We're lacking the critical things, character. Big old pretty church, everybody mean. Don't know how to smile. Don't know how to shake nobody's hand. And I don't care what you build, if you don't have character and you don't represent the kingdom like the kingdom ought to be represented, we going to go out of business. Ruby Tuesday is one of my favorite restaurants. And if you walked in there right now, I mean, it's been closed up a while. But the day before they closed, I was in there. Well, nothing wrong with the furniture. It was nice. It was clean. The salad bar looked good, and everything. But they gone. And what took them out was their reputation across the board. Same thing with Applebee's. I don't know if you know it, but Applebee's is about to close 75 restaurants. And that's what they're saying. They could not be attractive to the people that they were trying to reach, millennials and people with money. And people say the menu is outdated, the food is not good, the service and a lot of everything. And I can tell you what, I refuse to go to the one on Candlest Mountain at certain times because the people in there don't appreciate their job. I've left and gone over to Old Forest. I said, you know what, be seeing you. And I tell them I'm going over to Old Forest because y'all don't know how to act in here. Yeah. Because the truth of the matter is, there is nothing wrong with Christ. There's something wrong with the character of those who represent him. Amen. And we are doing the Lord a disservice When we don't build our courage, our competence, our confidence, don't validate our connections and our commitments, and when people don't come to our ministries, we ought to be afraid of that, what that means about us. When I was a young boy, we used to go to the farmer's market in Jackson, big farmer's market over on Beaver Street. And the farmers, those who were aggressive, stood out in front of their stand. And as you'd walk by, they'd hand you a slice of peach or a slice of apple and say, try this. The ladies would be sitting back there waiting on you to walk up and go, and they don't say nothing. You know what that tells you? You don't want my business. But that farmer who's standing out there already sliced up some watermelon, got it on ice in a cooler, and you know, when you walk by, you go, try this. You go, no thank you. Oh, you missed out on something, and he gets somebody else. And next thing you know, he's staying empty. And then you come back next week, you're looking for him. And next week, you're looking for him. That old guy that's sitting back there chewing on a straw and got old farmer hat, he looked like a farmer. Got a big old raw with one thing unstrapped. I guess that's a, you know, like blood in the crib, you know, he leave one unstrapped, you know. And he's sitting back there and he looking at you like you're going to steal something. Or if you pick up a grape and eat it, you ain't paid for that. Well, it's one grape, man. You got to try it before you buy it. But that guy who's saying, go ahead and try a few of them. Try it before you buy it. Guarantee you're going to like it. You go back to him. Even if he's a little higher. He's selling his grapes at 89 cents a pound. A man down there got them for 69, but it's something about him. And when you leave, he says, thank you. And he don't just give you 2 pounds. You say, give me 2 pounds, he give you 2.5. And he says, you're the cute little boy you got there. He engages you. He don't just take your money. He touches your heart. Y'all ain't getting it. You don't win people just because you say you are. You win them by doing who you say you are. And so the Hebrew writer says, all right, we there.
But Thomas asked, what'd that say right there? Who are them people? I don't know none of them people right there. We ain't got no pictures of us. Get some pictures of us, y'all. Where's some us's? I know them little Richburg people in there. I don't want to recognize them no more. They own everything.
Thank you for the works up there. Okay, let's go look at what Hebrew writer says. Everybody there? Okay, Hebrews 10. Let's go to Hebrews 10. And come down, and this is going to be very familiar to you. Come down to verse 23. Hebrews 10 at verse 23. This is so easy, and we're going to be blessed by it. So easy. So easy. So it's the result now of things coming together. Think about that. Coming together. When you start something, you start out as a novice or curiosity seeker, or whatever you want to call it. And until you get things to kind of start meshing, how many of y'all ever had people come to your house for dinner and you weren't quite ready yet? So you tell them, y'all sit down, I'll be with y'all. You put out some snacks or something, you know, some nuts or some cheese or whatever, and say, well, y'all just nibble, I'm going to be ready in a little bit, but everything ain't ready yet. You don't want them to come in and everything ain't ready yet. Or somebody show up early. Y'all get them early people. And you say, oh, y'all early, I ain't ready for y'all yet. Y'all just sit out there, I got it. And then somebody said, can I help you? How many of you sisters have gone, maybe some of you brothers even, have gone to a dinner party or a big event like that and said, well, I'm here. You need me to do something? You know why? Because you have anticipated what you're about to receive. And you don't mind helping in a good place because good things are going to happen. But if you walk in and it smelled like old chitlins or you walk in and you know we ain't having fish and it smell fishy or old chicken. You be like, everything all right back there? Yeah, I'm getting it together. You say, yes, sir, you really sure get it together. You don't volunteer to get involved. You say, oh, my goodness, this is going to be something. Or you say stuff like, why in the world do we come to Aunt Ruby's house? I told y'all. Y'all know Aunt Ruby can't cook, you know, because you know about what the reputation is. But they say, we having it at Aunt Mary's house this year. Everybody says, ooh, we going to eat now. Aunt Mary throw down. And only in the African-American genre can somebody say they put their foot in it, and you say, let's eat that. She put her foot in it. Well, we going to, yes, Lord. And the other foot entry is not good. You don't want to go to Ruby Tooth and they say they put their foot in it. You say, nah, we suing. But in the family, we put our foot in it, we good. And so let's look at what he says. Everybody there? All right, this is the good one. This is easy. This is easy learning right here. Everything we're doing must be coming together. All right, so here it is. And this is so easy that y'all can't mess it up. Without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. Now, in another verse, there's a series of let us. King James Version, let us. And so listen to what he's saying to them. It's really about all of us engaging together. It's really about all of us taking the time to build each other up, to forgive each other, to love each other. So he says, without wavering. Now let's talk about that. Let's talk about what it means to not waver. Again, how many of you worked on your job for any length of time? Had ups and downs, good days and bad days, but you held on. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand for this one, but those of you who are married, you've had issues in your marriage, or you with siblings, how many of you with your siblings, you know, you don't get along with all of them the same way? You got a favorite sister or favorite brother, or, you know, you got that one sibling that everybody just kind of go, oh, you know how she is. Deacon Walker, you checking the house? Good. Okay, very good. I saw what you were doing. I know the move. But let's think about what he's saying to the church. Without wavering. It's something we've talked about for the longest time. That's consistency. That's continuation. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. How many of us have been in the body of Christ and servants of the Lord for a while, or even if we're just spectators, and we've wavered? How many of us at watch night services, as years have gone by, made a commitment, told God, Lord, I'm going to come to church every Sunday. Lord, I'm going to tithe. Lord, I'm going to get involved in ministry. Y'all ain't saying that. You know, Lord, I'm going to do better this time. And in the third week in January, after having a rough Saturday night, we said, Lord, I just need to get myself together. I'm just going to lay here and rest. I watch Billy Graham on TV. Or we didn't tithe. Lord, this bill came up. Finally, them Christmas bills start coming in from all of the blessings you bestowed on folk with your Visa, MasterCard, and such. And now you open up the first one and you said, I spent that much money? And by the time the bill comes, some of them same folk that you invested in have already turned on you and ticked you off. And you're saying to yourself, why in the world did I spend $400 on a PlayStation and this knucklehead got all ease? You know, you start weighing it out, but it's too late now. And you start thinking, what if I put it back in the box it came in and tell me it don't work? You know, you start evaluating. But here's what he says. Without wavering. Which means, again, you got to stay focused on who your faith is really in. You always have to ask yourself, who am I doing this for? Don't start with why am I doing it? Because oftentimes you start with why, the reasons don't come so readily. It's who. Remember what the Corinthian letter says, you're enthusiastically engaging for the Lord. You don't get to pick, just like you can't pick your siblings. You don't get to pick your co-laborers in ministry. You know what the church would look like if we just picked people that were ideally suited to what we wanted to do? I don't know what it looked like either, because I don't even know where to find them. We just take whomever the Lord shall send. And then we groom them and we work with them, because we're not perfect either. How many of us remember that if it had not been for somebody taking personal attention to us, we wouldn't have been ushering or singing in no choir or clerking or administrating. We would have just been sitting around doing like everybody else doing, I guess. But somebody came along and said, you know what? I think you'd be a good so-and-so. Or, hey, why don't you try this? And we were kind of glad somebody asked us, because a lot of times we're kind of sitting around waiting on somebody to ask us. He said, but don't waver. Jesus puts it this way. This is what the gospel says. Once you have put your hands to the plow. Okay, three of y'all said something. That's what's in. See, this is the doctrine of the disciple church. The whole book. He said, once you've done that, you can't look back. You're going to be all over the place. And so when we are constantly around folk who waver, we start thinking wavering ain't so bad. That's why you can't look down nobody else's road. You can't worry about who didn't show up in your pew section or who else gonna quit. You can't quit because they quit. You can't not come because they don't come. You can't call around and go, what you gonna do? You make your commitment to God first, and then whatever everybody else gonna do, that's on them. Because he said, I know your works, and I'm gonna reward you according to what you've done. There will be no group. You can't go in on the buddy plan and say, you know, Lord, this is what me and my crew did. So I didn't call no crew, I called you. The crew came along as we were abiding together. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, if we're going to walk in the same direction, here's the first thing we got to do. Read Amos' book when you get a chance, chapter 3. Amos says, how in the world are you going to walk together if you haven't first agreed? You know what that means? We need to ask, where you going? How many of you have asked somebody to walk in and say, okay, come on, run with me? You say, where you going? And don't worry about that. And how many times has that turned out bad? Don't worry about it. I just need to make a little run with me. Where are we going? Just get in the car. And next thing you know, y'all done robbed a 7-Eleven. And you said, I ain't even get out. The man said, well, you were there. Come on, talk to me. Amos says, how is that going to ever happen? There had to be at least agreement. Oh, where are you going? What you trying to accomplish? Have you ever done that in ministry? This is the kind of language we got to have. We need to really start challenging each other. That's what you're trying to do. Where's God going to get the glory at in that? And when people start faltering, wavering, we come alongside and say, hey, you promised. How many of y'all ever got into an argument with somebody, an argument with somebody based on a promise they made and wouldn't keep, and all you did was just remind them? And what's right there? Don't worry about what I said. You know what that means? They've changed their mind. Well, you said you were going to do it for at least a year. I ain't got no year to be wasting time. Can't waver. And he said, here's what he really said. There is a union and unity and uniformity that is unique to a people of God. Don't miss those. One, we're all in the same blood. That's the union. The unity is that it is good and pleasant for us to dwell together. How many of you know there's no place like church? Nowhere. I don't care if you pay union dues. I don't care if you're a member. I don't care if they cut your wrists. I don't care if you walk across hot coals. There is nothing like the church. And it is uniformity because we're all doing the same thing for the same God. That's why we're not divided. That's why we're not unequally yoked. Because we all want the same thing. We want to make more disciples. We want to uplift the kingdom of God. Y'all ain't talking to me. Jesse, you came along just in time. It's a tough crowd. Tough crowd. There's a uniqueness to us. Nobody does it like the church does it. So y'all got them four? Uniformity, union, unity, and uniqueness? Man, that's us. There is nothing like the people of God. That's why you'll know the tree by the fruit. That's unique. Only in Christ do things work out like that. And so he said, now, first thing we got to do is make sure that we are doing this without wavering. How many of you know people in the body of Christ? Don't look around, Deacon Walker, not right now. This is a critical moment. But nobody gets to look around. Everybody got to look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Everybody look at me. How many of you know people that are inconsistent? Don't raise your hand. Just give me a little wink where they can't see you. Because that's a problem, isn't it? That's a problem when we're expecting and then we're disappointed. We had a pep rally and then we lost the game. We had another pep rally and then we lost some of the cheerleaders. Man, we said, oh man, this is going to be something. Man, after we came out of that one, boy, this going to wait. I can't wait till we get back together again. Then you walk and go, what happened? I thought we disagreed. We held hands. We prayed a good prayer. We said, yay. And then we got to look at the Lord and say, what had happened was they lied. And then we go to people about their lies, they get real mad. But you were there. You was at the you did the hand thing. We looked each other in the eye and said, it's gonna be better after this. We sang the song, there will be glory after this. And then we looked around and the warriors were missing. We announced the time of the meeting. We announced the battle plan, we put the strategic motion out there, but we wavered. How is God going to bless us wavering? James says when you waver, you can't be trusted. Amen. So he said, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to be a people who understand how critical consistency is. Write that down. Consistency is critical. That means that you don't have to wait till watch night to make God a new promise. You can make it now. You can say, Lord, I heard my pastor say something. One of the reasons we try to write stuff down and take notes is when you hear something that gets you, you got to remember. I was talking to a preacher at the funeral yesterday, and he said something. I said, oh, my goodness, Doc, hold on a minute. Let me put that in my phone. And I did. I said, that's crucial there. I'm going to use that. I told him, I said, you hear it again. You remember, I told you, I'm going to use that. And what we were talking about was discipleship. And part of it was the fact that, and Deacon Davis and I even talked about this morning, he didn't realize, but we were talking about how that church was packed for Brother Jesse's brother homegoing. And the preacher said, tomorrow some of y'all are just going to be scattered. I bet you can go to Mount Olivet right now and it looks like this. Mount Olivet, rather. Or any other church in the area, Union Hill, and it looks like this. Coolwell, and it looks like this. People came from all around to celebrate a homegoing, but will not come every Sunday to celebrate the home they say they're going to. Yeah. And ain't enough people. It was an overflow. It was too many people. Family was wise and said, let's go somewhere because we believe there's going to be a lot of folk coming. But some of them same folk, the man of God apologized yesterday for issuing an invitation. I said I was going to tell you, you ain't got to apologize forever doing that. Nobody took it. But I bet you some of them same folk that ate fried chicken and green beans didn't get up this morning to go and worship the God that Cassell knew. And then we wonder why. We wonder why. Because we keep wavering. In critical moments, we tell God a lot of stuff. Down in Texas, you can rest assured that them folk praying to God about harvest. And we'll be praying for them, sure enough. But you can rest assured that when the water go down and the church carpet dried out, some of them same folk ain't going to go. The God they want to save them and get them to the Lord. Ooh, God, Lord, we pray. I read article after article, caught a couple of interviews. Governor, the mayor, everybody saying, pray for us. And God will get it. But them same folk, yes, sir. Next week when it's dry and the sun come back out, they ain't going to go to the God and say, Lord, we sure thank you. And they ain't going to keep thanking him. One of the guys invoked the memories of Katrina. And same thing down there. When Katrina came, oh, everybody was on their knees. Lord, deliver us. Send help. Pray. They had signs on the rooftop. pray for us, God bless us, God lift us, God deliver us. And now that the water gone back down, Superdome is open again, Beale Street is back on the beat. Ain't got time for God. We're wavering. He said, hey, without wavering, watch what he tells them to do now. He said, without wavering, let's hold tight. Let's hold tight. Watch this. To the hope / faith that we affirm. Now you said it. And every one of us in this room are adults, minus this baby, that little fella right there. But every one of us, and these are, I'll be teaching them how to do it, but every one of us should have made a promise to God a long time ago. And we ought to be living as an affirmation to that promise. Remember what we said a couple of weeks ago. How are people going to believe what you say when what you say don't match what they see? How are you going to call yourself a Christian and live like a heathen? Oh, everybody falters every now and then. You know, listen, ain't no perfect people. So don't y'all be looking down your breathing instrument trying to find perfect people. But what you ought to look for are progressing people. Because you know the old saying, and Brother Jesse, this is no slight on you, but you're my good friend. But you know the old saying, ain't no fool like an old fool. Somebody look at Jesse and he start doing something silly. Somebody going to say, now he wait till he get to be an old man and start acting a fool. Yeah. So if you don't hold fast, somebody going to look at you and say, you too old to be acting that crazy. You too old to be doing stupid stuff. By now, you ought to know better. You know, so people are progressing. We need to be looking at progressive people, seeing them get better with time. I don't hold that little fella to the same standard I hold his daddy to. But if his daddy ain't got no standards, what you think gonna happen with him? If Eric a fool, abusive, a drunk, strung out, that little boy ain't got a chance. He ain't got a chance because the man he looking at ain't no man. Same thing with daughters. When I see young ladies who don't have character, all I gotta do is meet their mama one time. Because when I grew up back, my old friend, old soul, Laura ain't here yet. But where I grew up at, you hear stuff like, ain't no daughter of mine. Ain't no son of mine. Because their parents are saying, you ain't going to jack up what I'm putting my investment in. And how many of us ever had this challenge? You can't be my child. I must have took the wrong one from the hospital. That's why they don't have money back guarantees on babies. You don't know how they're going to turn out. Some of y'all know you ain't worth a nickel. Your mama couldn't get nothing for you when you were about 16. But listen what he says. Let's go back to what we said we were. And here's the issue. Some of us ain't said we're nothing. That way nobody can hold us accountable. How many of y'all ever used that trick? You don't promise nothing. You don't sign up for nothing. You don't say nothing. So when they come around saying, you said, no, I didn't. I got a friend of mine called me a few years ago, asked me for some legal advice on state policy. I don't know a whole lot of that. But he wouldn't sign his performance evaluation. And as they told him, said, you ain't got to. The truth is already here. So he said, well, I didn't sign off all that because they hired me. They ain't have all that stuff. And they done changed stuff around here. And I said, hey, dude, do you want to keep your job? This company ain't the same company. Because when I got hired, they blah, blah, blah. I said, man, you've been there how many years? Through how many takeovers, and you kept taking them people money? Now you done dropped the ball, and they saying, hey, we don't care that you've been here 23 years. Either you come up or go out. Well, Mike, what should I do? Come up or go out. And see, in the body of Christ, we got a whole lot of folks say, I ain't say I was going to come no every Sunday. I ain't say I was going to tithe. That's y'all, pastor. I ain't say I was going to do no sacrificial gift. I ain't say. That don't change nothing. God is still God. I ain't signed on for this. You ain't got to sign on. You breathing. In him, you live. You ain't got to sign that. Ain't no line at the back of the Bible says sign this contract if you agree with all this. Ain't no sign spot on him. You breathing. Apart from him, you breathing. Then you need to say yes. It's because you didn't say it. Just because you don't told the Bible don't mean you ain't obliged to it. You don't walk around with the laws of the Commonwealth in your back pocket, but run a stop sign. Steal something out of store. You ain't got to say, I agree there shouldn't be no shoplifting. They don't care. The law is the law. Y'all ain't talking to me. You didn't, I promise. You know, I was in court when I was a trooper, and you know, you had to swear, and the judge told me, you swear and affirm, blah, blah. The guy said, what do you, he used some old fancy word. It started going around one time. People wouldn't say they swear or affirm. They would say something else. The judge looked at him and said, in my courtroom, the answer is yes, Your Honor. Very seldom is it no, Your Honor. He said, now the bailiff just asked you, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help you God? And your answer, sir, is, now before you move any further, there's a thing we call contempt around here that I take real serious. He looked over the bailiff. How many empty cells y'all got downstairs right now? Bailiff said, Your Honor, we got about 6 or 7. He said, you'll have 5 if this meant. And the guy figured it out. You get born, you don't ask you where you want to live and agree with the Commonwealth. You in the Commonwealth, you do what the Commonwealth said. Now, Justin, now, bailiff, read that to him one more time. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Yes, Your Honor. I said, now we can move along. And he put his glasses back up here. But my point is simply this. Just because you don't affirm, don't mean you ain't accountable. But since you have affirmed, then you're accountable showing up now. Here's what the Bible said. There's a great cloud of witnesses. See, you think because you don't say that, we shouldn't see that. Can I say what I want to say right here? Oh, hey, Ms. Davis. Jess, you back. You got your stuff with you? I'm sick and tired of lying, fraudulent Christians. I'd rather they just left. Leave us what we got so we can start with what we got. Why people keep lying? Don't do it. Don't do it no more. And my mother's famous for saying, if it's a lie, you told it. Notice this in the scripture. Brother Thomas did it a little while ago. Brother Thomas said, where are we, Pastor? So we can be on point together. He said, what are you reading from? What are you teaching us from? That's good. So now I would imagine, I'm going to take a chance, but I'd imagine if I walk along every row and look now, we'll be in Hebrews. Y'all just got here. Shame on y'all. Pastor's daughter showing up late, make me look bad. But you got Bibles. So we agreeing. Nobody ain't stand up saying, I object. I'm teaching good up here. Run out of time, but teaching good up here. But my point is this. He says, let us. There's a union. There's unity. There should be uniformity. And we should embrace our uniqueness. When you say, Lord, there's none like you, you're saying there's none like us. We are unique. We are, here's what the Bible says. You are a peculiar people. You're chosen to be peculiar. You're set apart. God said this, you were not a people, but of all the peoples, I chose you. That's unique right there. And you ought to embrace that. You ought to have some kind of arrogance, some kind of confidence about you. How many of you ever put on your after five, your shindig clothes, and your chest went up a couple of inches? Your head was a little bit higher. Your feet moved a different. I love watching a woman in stilettos and them little high heels when they walk with them gowns on and they have to hold them up a little bit in the front because they're so long, but they sure don't trip. They be like Maya Angelou. You can see that oil pumping in their little veins things, you know, the hips. Women's move different when they got them gowns on and they sit down different. And Deacon Walker, you know, you feel obliged to open the door for her. You want to help her and scoot her chair in because she can't be doing like this with that on. You got I got this baby. Y'all know I'm right about it. There's something unique about how we look when we do stuff and we got our game on. And God is looking for that in the church. He said, man, we can't waver. We made an affirmation. Us military people, remember, we swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It didn't matter whether we like them or not. Every soldier in Afghanistan got to fire an Afghanistanian. But you couldn't be over there talking about that's my brother. No, if he in the Union, back in the Civil War, when one brother went to the blue and one went to the gray, they shot each other. Based on whose side you're on. And you made an affirmation to God, and if you're in this room today, you made an affirmation. You don't want to live up to it, then shame on you. But God ain't never let you down. God ain't never said, you ain't mine. I ain't going to feed you. I ain't going to clothe you. I ain't going to protect you. He kept his word. You ought to keep yours.
Amen.
Okay, some of y'all woke up. Seven of y'all trying to play me. I told y'all, I see everything. I don't wear glasses because I need them. He said, man, we can't let this thing go on our watch. Remember when God do that? You know, I forgot all. I know it's three general orders. I can't remember exactly how they go. I know the ones we made up. I can't use them in here. But you know, I will obey my orders and all my general, you know, and I will walk my post from flank to flank, that kind of thing. But see, we promised that when we put on that uniform. Now, all the soldiers in the barracks ain't got to worry about the general orders right now. They on chill time. But when you on duty, when you call to service, you do your 2 hours and get off the watch. Then you go drink a beer. You don't drink a beer before you get on duty. You do your 2 hours and hope you're at the end of it. So you say, man, when I get this last guard mount out the way, I'm going to get me a cold. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But now I'm not on duty. See, and God gives you some chill time. But we who are servants of the Most High God, and we're derelict in our duties because we're not holding to our affirmation. We promise to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You can't pick and choose to fight. So when we call for the assembly, you got to be there. You make muster or you're going to get pinched. You know. When the horn go off, you don't go, man, I can't believe they're calling a recall. I was in RDF one time. They still do RDF, rapid deployment. I was in RDF unit. And RDF meant you got 2 hours. Anytime, anywhere, when they blow the horn, you got 2 hours to be in formation. I don't care where you're at. And so they had a little map in the order room with a perimeter. This was the unit right here. And they had a big circle where the 2 hour radius was. And you could not go outside that while we were on standby. So if you were half a mile outside of that, you're putting yourself in jeopardy as to whether you can make it back. And the radius was determined by driving the speed limit from here to wherever, all the speed limits considered, because they got people who can calculate that. So if you say, if we were in Savannah and you were in Ludowice, you could make it. Jacksonville was just outside the perimeter. Guess what? Old Sarge said, in that 1977 Fury with that 440 in it, I figure I can make up the difference. Man, I'm going home this weekend. And on more than one occasion, this is Jacksonville, this is the perimeter. I needed to make up at least 30 miles. The speed limit was 55 back then, and the Georgia State Patrol was filled with white boys with beer bellies and chewed tobacco. Stopping a Negro in a 1977 Fury running 70 is a good catch. Well, likely, I ain't going to be running 70. Man, I got to be running 90. I'd already figured it out. I'd done a couple test runs. I knew how fast I'd have to go to get back. Now, mind you, I ain't got my uniform. I got to get my uniform. I got to get my boots on. I got to get there. And then I'm the platoon sergeant. I got to be there when the man said, fall in. So what it looked like when I got 4 ranks with squad leaders, section chiefs, and no platoon sergeant. My platoon leader was dumb as a box of rocks. So I knew, I said, well, I'm going to take my chances. I calculated the risk. I'm outside the circle. But I know I got to be ever so ready. And church folk kill me when they say that. It make my neck hurt. Because we play God with that like we really mean something. But you know they say, be a, sit down, shut up, because you really ain't ready. You got to make them kind of statements, you playing the Lord. If somebody call you to do something, you know you're a deacon, a trustee, a minister. When somebody said, can we get you to come and do a prayer? My pastor said like this, do what you ask and go sit down. You don't need to make no speech on your way up. Hey, you know the Lord said, be always ready. We know you're a preacher. Just do your preacher thing. We need a Sunday school teacher. Don't tell me, it ain't my Sunday to teach. We need a teacher, man. We got a classroom down there with students waiting on somebody. We need a treasurer. We need a clerk. We need soldiers. You're already signed up. You don't get to tell us what you're going to do. You say, yes, sir, three bags full. When we say jump on your way up, say, ha, ha, you won't let it go. See how we talking? Amen. We can't waver. He said, let's hold fast to what we have affirmed. And the affirmation is based on the hope or the faith that we have in God, not in Brookville. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm over my time. I do it every Sunday. They told me to starting at 9:30. I'm going to do it. First week in September, 9:30. Here it is. He said, listen, let's say what we say. Let's do what we do, for God can be trusted.
Yes.
Now, watch this, Rudy. Watch how slow this goes. How many of y'all trust God? Boom, hands should have went up just like that. Some of y'all think he's setting us up. I sure am. Because if you trust him, why don't you serve him like you trust him? Why don't you show up like you trust him? Why don't you tithe like you trust him? Our finances are just going down. Every Sunday, it's more and more head scratching. But I keep seeing cars and hearing about vacations and seeing fancy dresses and hairdos. I went by the nail shop the other day getting ready for my big speech I'm coming up, and asked the lady, how much is the charge to get fancy stuff? She looked me in and as if she said, now please don't. Eric, she was really looking at me, hoping that I didn't want it. I can see the way she was looking at me. I said, how much does it charge to get the real fancy? And she was looking at me like, you want for your wife? I thought, no, this is for me. I said, yeah. I said, I want to give my wife a little gift card. I said, so how much it charge to get the little stones? And she said, oh, it's not too expensive. Make a good price for you. I said, no, just give me the regular numbers. And when she told me, I buckled. I got a cramp. Didn't walk. I couldn't move. I locked up. And she said, good price. I said, no. I said, let me tell you why I asked. I said, I pastor the church. I said, I look at some of the ladies in my church, and their nails outrun my tithe box. You preacher? I said, yeah. I said, you stealing my offerings. She smiled. I'll write down there. Then I went to another one and another one. And consistently across the board, they had no problem telling me 60, 70, 50. Then they got a little thing up there, fill-ins and touch-ups. And you can go royal treatment. There ain't no vagabond price. I'm saying to myself, I need to set up an offering plate right here. Get a little cut, maybe, but I come out of. And then I went to the pedicure, manicure side and said, well, let me ask you this. When you put your foot in that little thing over there, how much that cost? She said, that a mini petty. I said, a mini who? And she said, you do this. And she, you know, I ain't trying to pick on Oriental people, y'all, but it makes the effect better. And she was telling about how all that stuff worked. And I said, oh, and I saw ladies sitting in there with their hands like this and their feet with them little thing. They get a little thing between your toes. And I'm saying, see what I'm saying? They can walk, you see what I'm saying? Ain't said nothing all morning, but now, that's right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the, you know, all that, see what I'm saying? Larry, get ready for it. The one that sit right there is just like the one that sit right here. She do it. She tight. But my point is, We have a God that can be trusted, but can God trust you?
Yeah.
Then tithe like you trust him.
Amen.
Serve like you trust him. Come to church like you trust him. Take care of your family like you trust him. Love your neighbor like you trust him. And nobody will ever question whether you're wavering or not. They'll say, man, well, you can say what you want about old Deacon so-and-so, but he consistent. He in his place. He doing his thing. Watch what he said. My time is up. But he said this. He said, and this is what I like about it. He said, let us. Now watch what he says, because he realizes that sometimes it gets a little tough, Rudy. So he says, next verse, verse 24, think of ways to encourage each other. You know what you ought to be doing when you don't see a brother or sister, or you see somebody languishing or falling back? Instead of you going, I knew it. I knew that wasn't going to last. Don't do that. Go over there and say, hey, man, you all right? What's going on with you, man? Ain't seen you in a while. And let them tell their story. You may not know. They could have some real serious stuff going on. Or they could be smoking and joking. You can go, come on, man. You gotta be kidding me, man! You got more invested than that. God been too good for you to be flaking out like that. You're a better soldier than that. Y'all ain't talking to me. And notice he said, this has to be intentional. Notice what text says. Think of ways to do it. Don't go just jackrabbit into talking to nobody. Think of ways. Say, when I see him, I'm gonna say this. When I see her, I'm gonna say this. Think of ways. Think, and don't get on the bandwagon of beat down. Look at it. I knew all that was on my head. Don't rebuke them kind of people. I'm going to appoint me a minister of rebuke, because we need to start telling some folks, hey, don't do that here. No, we don't work like that. That's the old way. We don't work like that. And when you're around folk and they start talking down, tell them, no. Jess, Harmony, Song. She says, young and beautiful, but someday your looks will be gone. When the others turn you off, who will be turning you on? I will. When the young girls start hanging around, talking me down, hear with your heart and you won't hear a sound. Love will keep us together. Y'all never heard that? Said, love. Captain Engineer, love will keep us together. Think of me, baby. Y'all know I know. Okay, so see, Tamika don't know that song. I saw the look. You don't know love will keep us together. You do? Now why you ain't pop in with me? Harmony was with me. Harmony was giving me the old, yeah, go ahead, work with it, Reverend. Work it, Claire. She said, listen what she says. She says, think of me, babe, whenever.
Yeah.
When those girls start hanging around, talking me down, hear with your heart and you won't hear a sound. Love will keep us together. That's what we need, church. Deacon McKenzie, our money ain't gonna never get right if our love ain't no good. Jasmine, our finance committee ain't gonna never be strong if our love ain't no good. Love going to make us different. We don't need a bigger church yet. We need more love. We need to be thinking of ways to encourage the wavering brother rather than going, I don't know why y'all picked him. I told y'all that wasn't going to work. Come on, talk to me. Donna, don't you want love? I know you don't want nobody to touch you, but you want love. But you hear what I'm saying? He said, listen, don't waver, because there's something we need to be holding tight to. And what we need to hold tight to is not the name Brookville, but the name of the Lord.
Yeah,
hold on to God, and all that other stuff becomes easy. He said, and without wavering, which means we're building our consistency. You know how you start with consistency? Do it once. Some of us ain't never did it. We ain't never did it one time. So there is no consistency. You got to take little baby steps. You know, we teach our soldiers, we teach them first how to hold a hand. We teach them first how to put their feet. We don't try to go on a 26-mile march the first day. We teach them how to get, first teach them what a line is. We teach them the difference between a line and a collar. Y'all don't know nothing about this. Larry, y'all, Addison, I got 3 soldiers now. Y'all help these poor civilians. We got to teach them the difference between a line and, so when we say column right, they know that's different. And so we teach, and then we teach them what a 30-inch step is. We teach them how to march, how to run. Everybody, you can't, in the military, everything we do is a certain way. Then we start having expectations. Then we build a consistency. Then we watch them out the window. The old drill sergeant, we watch out the window and see how you're walking. See how you're mingling. We let you stand on the range by yourself for a little while. We step back to see where the next leader start taking charge at. Because it's always going to be somebody say, hey, man, y'all know when Sarge get back, he's going to go off. So he said, hey, man, let's fool Sarge. Let's beat him at the game. How many of you are really trying to impress upon God that you are who you say you are? See how many hands didn't go up? Let's try that again. No, we ain't going to do it again. They ain't going to make you lie. But here's the point. He said, watch this now. He says, let's stick to what we said. And then when people are starting to fall off, instead of beating them down, let's build them up. Like we do with soldiers. We grab you by the hand, and then we run with you. So we don't leave you behind. We don't go, man, you. No, we ain't going to leave you. We'll circle around and come get you. Range walk, okay. But my point is this. He says, let's encourage each other. Now watch this. He didn't say, you do it. He said, let us. Everybody ought to put their arm around somebody sometime and say, come on, hang in there. You ain't trusted a month yet, but the month ain't over. You ain't preached your best sermon yet, but there's some invitations out there. And encourage me. You get more out of me as my friend than you do as my enemy. Because if you've been treating me some kind of way, when you sit down beside me, I get cold. And when you say stuff, I got to figure, is there something behind this? Or do you really mean that? Or are you performing? How many of you ever have people come stand by and say something to you, and you know they're just performing? They don't mean it. You look at them and go, yeah, okay, thank you. Yes. You're talking out both sides of your mouth like the Indians say. On one side, you're going, well, thank you. On the other side, no, I wish you'd get away from over here. How many of y'all are bilingual? Not speak 2 languages, but can talk 2 conversations at the same time. Yeah. Why? Because people have pushed us. And we don't trust them. I got to go. My time is up. Watch this. Last thing. He says it is critical in ministry to motivate. Let us. And that means that, watch this, going back to the Corinthian letter, we become enthusiastic, but we also become engaging. In other words, we're going to do this. How many of y'all have had that, we're going to do this rally at the job or some big project comes along and they get everybody together, all right, come on, team. We do all the thing. And then you go back to some people sitting there, they're drinking coffee. You say, hey, we're supposed to be in the project room. Oh, yeah, I'm coming. Y'all go ahead. I'll catch up. No, you won't. You're going to start with us, so you don't have to catch up. So it takes somebody special. It takes special talent, special gifts and abilities to be an encourager. Let me tell you something. Depressed people don't run clinics. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if you're down and beat up, you can't open up no shingle, put no shingle out saying, I can help you. You need help. Wounded warriors need excellent facilities. And in the body of Christ, there's a lot of wounded people. So here's what the Bible said. Once you have recovered, once you've been restored, then you go get your brother. So hurt people need to be helped first. And we take the most critical first. Some of y'all got paper cuts, and y'all right here crying like your arm been cut off. You got a paper cut. We got people who are hungry. We got little kids who don't have lunch money. We got families who have not been introduced to the gospel, and you right here crying about a paper cut because we didn't recognize you.
because you've done something.
You got to go sit down somewhere. Paper cut. Yeah, so look at me. I got a paper cut. Y'all ain't talked to me.
That's right.
We take care of the most critical. Yes. Deacon Walker said something in our vision meeting the other night, and I made a note of it. And we got to the point where we talked about going and building, and he said this. He said, how are we going to talk about this thing and not do it? There's one little line in our vision statement, those who came to the vision meeting, God bless you, yay. But you can't just meet with me if you ain't going to do something. But he said, Pastor, this is it. This big right here. This is big. And we all around the big table, you know, we looking good too. We should have took a picture. We were looking good, y'all. When we looking good, y'all, we were deep. We had all the chairs, you know, and we were eating Chex Mix and stuff, you know, and people were talking and nobody was hollering at nobody. Everybody was smiling. We were laughing with each other and encouraging one another. And I said to myself, come now, Jesus. Come get us now. This is our best chance. You know, get up, get all of us now. Just let us be caught up like Enoch. Just let us leave. And the Lord said, no, not yet. But he said, and he was right. And then Carolyn said something. And I wrote down, and I put it in my notes. And I don't want y'all to think I'm kidding. But when I say I put y'all in here, I did. I got it right here. Carolyn said something. Carolyn said, it has been settled a long time ago that we are not the Old Brookville. She said, I don't know why people want to keep talking about it. She said, we GBC. That's who we are. And it's time. Watch this. Wait for you clap. Because the big clap comes. Because she said it. And it's time for us to either do it or don't. And she was right. I was sitting there and said, go ahead, Carolyn. But she was right. She said, there ain't no argument no more. She said, I don't know why people even bring that up. It's already been established.
Amen.
She said, and that's what we're, let's move. Let's do it. That's motivating. We don't even talk about what used to be. We got too much can be in front of us. The used to be the fine. Jess, song time. Used to be's have fallen away. It used to be gone. Ain't no used to be. But the point of the matter is, you got to encourage each other. Say, come on, man. Man, I ain't see you Sunday. Man, I'm holding down your spot. Hey, man, you ministry meeting. You're supposed to be there. Where you at? You know, when we were in the military, we used to go call soldiers. You know, we look out and don't see them in formation, man. We sneak off to the phone in the order room because we ain't have cell phone stuff. We go, oh, hey, man, we in formation. Where you at, man? You better get out of bed. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Sorry, man, you're going to be busted. First Sergeant, where's Sergeant Thomas? We sent him over to the clinic to check on the soldiers on sick call. All right. You know, First Sergeant getting that, y'all lying, bro. Oh, yeah, he do a little follow-up question, and you know you're in trouble. But the point of the matter is this. All right, I'm done. My time's up. He says, watch this, one more. He says, to do outbursts. Takeaways encourage people to do outbursts. You know what that means? We ought to be seen as ministers. Remember, I told y'all 3 years ago, all of you are called to be ministers. That's gospel. He said, but we ought to see outbursts. Anybody ever seen an outburst? Okay, let me get it easy. Any of y'all ever going to a 4th of July celebration when they got fireworks?
Yeah.
You hit it. Well, you know, we call them simulators. But when you hit it, and what you waiting on? Boom, you waiting on the outburst. That's what make everybody go, woo! All of them don't mean nothing. Because you know how many of y'all been wanting to go, you say to yourself, what? Or you have gone to one of them cheap firework displays. They don't put up stuff about like 5 minutes. You said, I drove way down here for this. You want the kind that at least they blow up something or set somebody's house on fire. You know, you want to go to a firework show that something go bad. You say, man, they were going down. They burned that lady's house up over there. You don't want them, you want one of them to go way up there and go boom and everything shakes. Somebody's going, oh, been one of them kind? Yeah, outburst. So he said, let's not waver. Let's hold our affirmation. Let's keep our faith in God. Let's encourage each other. And let's see some outbursts.
Yeah.
Nudge your neighbor and ask him, you got an outburst left? Okay, watch this. Last one. I'm done. My time is up. I ain't gonna preach for about 10 minutes and I'm going home. All right, watch this. How many of y'all remember Freshen Up? Freshen Up. Who remember Freshen Up? What was Freshen Up? Chewing gum. Okay, Freshen Up. You remember the slogan? Anybody remember the slogan? I'll tell you what the slogan was. Here's the slogan. It was a little music did it. It said, he didn't know the gum was loaded. Freshen up. And what that meant was, when you bit down into it, that little burst hit you. That was like, he didn't know the gum was loaded. Freshen up. Whipped flavor. And so that's an outward. And so when you bought Freshen Up, that's really what you was in. Because the gum itself was sour. As soon as the little flavor thing burst and you chewed a little, it got hard as a brick. It was like trying to chew plaster. So you didn't chew that long. Now where is dentine or some of that long-lasting flavor you can chew? Freshen Up was just like a hit or quitter, like Floyd Mayweather and Mr. O'Connor. Take the payday and go on home. But here's the point. And so what we're looking for is the burst. How many of you have any burst? How many of you can surprise somebody that what you look like on the outside don't tell everything about what's on your inside? Oh, man, I'm preaching. You listen. You have the ability to do anything that you could ask, think, or imagine if you would just ask, think, and imagine. Don't be dull and then get mad because you dull. Do something. Marvin Gaye. Harmony, your turn. Marvin Gaye said, I'm leaving. Marvin Gaye said, I used to go out and party and just stand around because I was too nervous to really get down. But I got out on the floor and my body yearned to be free. Y'all ain't seeing it. He said, I took a chance. He said, and now, watch out now. I'm hooking and double booking. I got them lined up on the dance with me. You and I have the ability to stop me in wallflowers. God ain't going to cheat none of you. All you got to do is say, Lord, I won't. Okay, y'all don't like Marvin Gaye. Christian song, Donna. Says, in my heart, Lord, I want to be a Christian. In my heart. Y'all know that song? In my heart, Lord, I want to be a Christian. In my heart. And just, that's all you got to do. You got to want it. Can I help some of y'all? I'm gone. I'm done. Can I help some of y'all? Can y'all get a wanna attitude? Just want to be a Christian. Listen, it's not, I told you already, it's not about being perfect, but it's about making progress. Old things will pass away. They got to. Tell your neighbor, it's got to. I can't keep being what I was 5 years ago. It's too much God available. That's like a hungry man standing there looking in the refrigerator. How many of y'all over there stood there looking in the refrigerator? And clothed it and said, y'all some church in church folk. Stood there in the pantry. And too late to open a can of beans, put them on the stove, and warm them and say, this don't make no sense. Ain't nothing in here to eat. No, you don't want to do the labor. You're too lazy to get an electric can open, walk 2 steps, put it under the thing. It's got to catch about 3 times for a catch. No can opener ever works on the first try. I don't care what kind it is. You ain't under this no more. And then drop it in the pot, push one button. You're too lazy. She said, you've been here all day. So, and you know how that's going to go the rest of the night. You have now found the couch most comfortable. You'll be watching ESPN till you fall asleep, nursing one beer, because she ain't going to bring you another. All because you didn't stop and buy some Kentucky Fried Chicken on your way home. See, in the church, we're standing there. Here's what the Bible said. Before us are blessings. He said, I have set before you both blessing and cursing. And y'all choose the curse. What's the curse? Lazy, non-compliant, difficult. Choose the blessing. I said, Pastor, I'm serving. Pastor, I changed my mind. I'm motivated. All you got to do is decide. You can ask, think, or imagine anything. And nothing shall be impossible. Yeah. Nothing they ever say,
we can do this.
Okay, last one. Got to go. Where my little kid at? Bob the Builder. Who knows Bob the Builder? You know Bob the Builder. I see how you're looking at me. Who is Bob the Builder? Don't tell me you don't know Bob the Builder. You know Bob the Builder? You don't know Bob the Builder either? How old are you, sir? Eight? Yeah, Bob the Builder speed. You know Bob the Builder? You? George, okay. Who knows Bob the Builder? Okay. What's Bob the Builder's slogan? Bob the Builder, what Bob the Builder say? And then what he say? Bob the Builder says, okay, Bob the Builder is a little guy who lives in this town. And he's a construction engineer with a degree. He's a class A contractor. Bob the Builder goes to, every time something happens, they get Bob. And Bob shows up, assesses the situation, and says, can we fix it? And then everybody goes, yes, we can. Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Yes, we can. And that's what you need to know. God has made all y'all a bunch of Bob the Builder. All you need to do is look at the situation of discipleship development, ministry fulfillment, finance opportunity, and say, can we fix this? And that's what your team, y'all, yes, we can. No, that's too big for us. I've seen Bob the Builder build a whole town with one truckload of lumber. No drills, no saw. They just got a hammer and a few nails, and they built a skyscraper with toilets and everything. I ain't seen none of that stuff on the truck, but apparently it worked. But my point is this, simple this. If you ask, think, or imagine, God will bring it to pass. Here's what he said. Last one, for real, last one. Got to go. 10-minute preaching, I'm done. Last one. Here's what Bob says. Here's what God says. God says, I will give you the empowerment to speak things that are not as though they are. Man, who wants to serve God like that? God said, I will give you the authority to talk to demons and they got to behave themselves. I will give you the authority to walk into sick rooms and the sickness has got to go. Because you broke my word. Y'all ain't talking to me. Ask, think, or imagine. And so he said, let's encourage each other to do outbursts. That are rooted in, here it is, how much we love each other. Amen. Every parent in here has done this one. Sister Price and I were talking about the other week. Every parent in here, your children, he old enough to have put you there. Every parent in here has done something for their child that was against their own standards, our own reasonability, because we love them. Every child in here has pushed your parent into the only reason I'm doing this is because I love you. When you make your parents pull their teeth in real tight,